97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the upcoming Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Our guest, Linda Robertson, sports reporter for the Miami Herald, on her way to her 13th Olympics. So, Linda, how does the roll-up, or the build-up, if you will, to this Olympics compare to others? You know, you hear about the Zika virus and problems with the Brazilian government, and the economy is in shambles, but I think back to other games, and there were all these problems that were going to cause the Olympics to be a bust. Is this one markedly different?
I would say that for this one, the array of crises is probably greater than in previous Olympics that I've covered. But I agree with you, especially in, you know, the last 10 years or so, we've had a lot of games where they were preceded by, you know, threats of terrorism, the inability to get the venues ready, construction problems. But Rio, I mean, they've just got so many things going on there, and the country, of course, is in the middle of a recession. The president is facing an impeachment trial, and the governor of the state of Rio has declared a public calamity. Those are the words that he used in terms of their budget, and they've had to request emergency funding from the federal government.
Yeah, if Rio doesn't get the federal funds, this could be a disaster. That's not something you want to be hearing from the governor.
Right.
So how bad is it? Should people not go?
Well, no. I mean, I think, you know, we heard a lot before Sochi about terrorism. I mean, experts were predicting that something was definitely going to happen in Sochi. There were fears that this Black Widow suicide bomber from Chechnya had infiltrated the Iron Wall around Sochi, and there was all kinds of security there. And of course, nothing remotely happened at all. Of course, Sochi wasn't finished either. When we got there, when the media got to their lodgings, we were told that our rooms weren't quite ready. Please wait. We are still making your beds. And they were literally constructing our beds.
So they are making the bed. Yeah.
They were making the bed. Yeah, they were hammering and nailing the beds together. So we waited for like 4 hours before we could get into our rooms. And then, of course, you heard about all the media having problems with their bathrooms, et cetera. And a lot of the venues were sort of not quite done. And up in the mountains, this ski town that they were sort of constructing out of nothing was mostly closed. Like, there were a lot of storefronts that were just closed, you know, not operating. Athens, there were great fears that they weren't going to be ready in time, and also fears of terrorism there. And when we arrived there, yes, there were still, like, painting and, you know, hammering things together, and some of their subway lines weren't completed. But that games went off without a hitch, too. So I think these countries, they tend to get things done at the last minute, and then they pull it all together, and you know, everybody makes a grand effort, and the games go on, the show must go on, you know. But I think Rio is really facing such a variety of problems that it's causing people to really second-guess the decision to have the games there.
Sure. Too late now to do anything about that, so the games will go on. And readiness is one thing. Public safety is another. Public health, on top of, you know, fears about public safety, that's a tough combination.
Right. And I think the Zika virus, there's been a lot of reassurances that, you know, this is going to be winter in Rio, which, of course, is a relative term. But they're not too worried about the Zika virus in Brazil. And I live in Miami. There's like 61 cases of Zika in Florida. And, of course, it's the middle of summer in Miami. And it's not like we're running around in a panic there, you know, wearing special clothes. And so I think, you know, that's been a little bit over-exaggerated, the fear of the Zika. Now, the water pollution situation, I think, is going to be very critical for the athletes competing in Guanabara Bay, and also in some of the other areas like Copacabana Beach. Just a couple weeks ago, at the beach volleyball venue, some body parts washed ashore. And I've interviewed some sailors and rowers who have competed in test events, and a lot of them have gotten sick just from, you know, sailing in the water. A lot of them have taken, you know, they take precautions, like they throw out their water bottles after they race. They shower immediately after they get out of the water. They wear special wetsuits. They take special medicine. And still, a lot of them have gotten sick just from, you know, maybe getting a little bit of water in their mouth when they're competing. So that's going to get a lot of attention, the state of the water venues down there, where, you know, they've got raw sewage, you know, flowing into these bodies of water because the country did not complete the sewage treatment plants that they said they would in time for the Olympics.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Linda Robertson, a sports reporter for the Miami Herald, about the Olympics. And Linda, we were talking about readiness and health issues and public safety issues. Beyond that, the doping thing seems to be one of the bigger stories heading into this Olympics. Bring us up to speed with that.
Yes, doping has really taken center stage at the worst possible time, of course, for the Olympics and for the International Olympic Committee. There were a series of media reports last year, primarily out of Germany, about Russia's doping problem. A couple of whistleblowers, including a track and field runner from Russia, they tried to provide information to the World Anti-Doping Agency previous to going to the media, and WADA didn't really follow up because they said they didn't have the authority to do like a criminal investigation in Russia. So that was kind of, you know, shoved under the rug for a while. And then this Russian runner and her husband went to the media, and there was a couple of exposés on a German TV station about widespread doping practices throughout Russia's track and field program. There was bribery, athletes bribing testing officials like blackmailing athletes. There was reports of an elaborate scheme during the Sochi Olympics where the head of Russia's anti-doping agency arranged for urine samples to be passed through like holes that they had drilled in the walls of the testing lab and exchanged with clean samples that came through the holes. And this whole, you know, subterfuge to try to suppress dirty samples during the Sochi Games, which brought into suspicion the World Track Championships and numerous other events that have been held in Russia. And basically what was concluded, and WADA did their own investigation, they also concluded that it's basically a state-approved, almost a state-sponsored doping system, not unlike what was going on in East Germany during the notorious 70s and 80s, where, you know, it's been alleged that the knowledge of this goes all the way to the top, I mean, all the way to President Putin, and that, you know, Russia officials have turned a blind eye and allowed this doping situation to flourish. Lots of money has exchanged hands, and lots of athletes, you know, who should have tested positive did not, or who did test positive, then they were allowed to suppress those results. So anyway, the International Track Federation and WADA suspended Russian track and field from international competition last fall. And they said, these are the steps that you must take to clean up your act and become eligible for the Olympics. Well, they ruled that they hadn't done enough to comply. And so they've banned the Russian track and field team from the Olympics. And about 80 Russian athletes are appealing to go to the games through the IOC, claiming that, you know, they've been tested properly and they should be allowed to go. And there's this huge controversy about, you know, do you ban the whole country? Do you make exceptions for certain athletes? Of course, there's a feeling that it goes way beyond track and field. You know, if this is going on in track and field, it's probably going on in other sports as well. And then we just had a report out of Kenya that British and Kenyan runners training in Kenya have been doping and cheating and having their results suppressed as well, because the Kenyan anti-doping agency is also inadequate and, you know, rife with corruption as well. So, you know, you're talking about one of the most powerful Olympic countries in the world, you know, not taking perhaps its best team to the games. And some of these allegations are really wild. I mean, it's just, it's almost like the whole anti-doping movement has taken a step backward.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion of the upcoming Olympic Games in Rio. We're talking with Linda Robertson, sports reporter for the Miami Herald. Linda, we talked about the doping issues, and we didn't really get into whether, as the critics say, the IOC is going to cave, and, you know, how can they not let these Russian athletes in and what have you. But I'd like to move on from doping to golf. Why the issues with golf?
Well, you know, they put golf back into the Olympics. I think they, you know, with the IOC, they add sports when they see sort of a marketing opportunity, and they try to keep the games modern by adding sports. For example, in the Winter Olympics, they've added a lot of freestyle snowboarding and skiing events. So they put rugby back in, they put golf back in. But a lot of golfers, I don't think they've embraced the idea of the Olympics as a premier event. And so several of the top names have pulled out.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. The skeptic in me says these guys aren't pulling out because they're all that worried about Zika. They're pulling out because they just don't care that much about playing in the Olympics.
Yeah, I think the Zika thing is kind of an excuse. There's so many things they can do to prevent, you know, getting the Zika virus. So I agree with you. I think that, like, a lot of tennis players have embraced the Olympics as a premier event on their yearly, you know, once every 4 years on their schedule. But the golfers have not. And it remains to be seen whether, you know, golf will be considered a premier event at the Olympics or just, you know, another grab at trying to get another segment of the population interested in the games and trying to get more sponsors. But I think, you know, they consider the majors to be their primary events, and this is just another, you know, hassle for them to go all the way down there and play. And for what? You know, is it worth it?
Yeah, I think,
you know, it's same thing with tennis. A lot of players just don't consider it to be on a par with Wimbledon or the U.S. Open.
Okay, so let's move on now to the trials. Those of us who are Olympics junkies have been watching the U.S. trials with great interest, and there's always super stories. What sort of stands out in your mind as something you really want to be looking for or following while you're in Rio?
I think one trend we've seen with the trials, we're talking diving, gymnastics, track and field, swimming, you know, I mean, I hate to use a cliche, but there is a sort of changing of the guard. We're seeing like a new generation of athletes, I think, come forward, and some of the old familiar names are just, you know, getting older, and their attempts to still be competitive in like their fourth and fifth Olympics not quite working out. At the track trials, we saw some premier names bow out, including Sonia Richards-Ross and Aries Merritt. Allison Felix was not able to complete her 400-200 double. And then in swimming, you know, Ryan Lochte was hurt. He didn't do particularly well. Missy Franklin didn't do well. Natalie Coughlin pulled out of the swimming trials. In diving, there's a whole bunch of new names, with the exception of David Bedaya. And then in gymnastics, of course, on the women's side, there's always kind of a new group that comes forward because of the nature of the sport. Although this year we do have Allie Raceman and Gabby Douglas making their second straight Olympics team, which is rather unusual in gymnastics, in women's gymnastics. But Simone Biles is expected to be hands down the star of the Rio Games because she could win 5 gold medals in gymnastics. You know, Michael Phelps is back for his 5th Games. He won't be, you know, competing in as many events, but he'll be a big story because of the way he's changed. He's sober now.
Has a baby.
See a lot of new people.
Yeah, Phelps has a baby, and you know, maybe he's become a little more responsible in his personal life. But yeah, so many of the trials conclude with. And all 3 of the top finishers in whatever track event are going to their first Olympic Games. And we see an awful lot of that. Anybody who you expect to really burst on the scene who you're keeping an eye on?
I would say in track and field, keep an eye on a high jumper named Vashte Cunningham. She's the daughter of Randall Cunningham, former NFL quarterback. And she just finished her senior year of high school. And she could medal in the women's high jump. There's a number of youngsters in track and field. In swimming, I mean, Katie Ledecky will probably be the star of U.S. swimming. She's a distance swimmer, and she's going to be swimming multiple events. She could be a multiple gold medalist. In gymnastics, like I said, Simone Biles. And there's a 16-year-old, she just turned 16, Lori Hernandez from New Jersey, who is just has got a lot of charisma, especially on the floor. And I think she will steal the show in the floor exercise in Rio, Lori Hernandez. So those are some people that I'm excited to see how they do.
All right. In the final 20 seconds we have a lot of new people going, and then we have Michael Phelps, 5th time going to the Olympic Games and expected to compete for medals. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I mean, he's really, I have to say, he's really transformed himself into a different person. He's married, he has a child. He, you know, he finished probation for his second DUI recently. He claims he hasn't had a drink in more than a year, and he still loves swimming. I think he told us that he really burned out on the sport, and he really didn't like it much in 2012. It was like he was going through the motions, and now he's re-embraced his love for the, you know, the fun part of being an athlete. And so I think it'll be really cool to see a different, not the swimming robot that we all kind of assumed he was, but just, you know, a real whole person who wants to go out, you know, on top. And he really wants his son to be able to see him compete in Olympic Games before he retires.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Linda Robertson. Thanks also to engineer Dylan Field. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.